Steve Dale back with you on WGN. So this is from the Bipartisan Civic Foundation. The city of Chicago currently faces a mounting fiscal challenge with the projected budget for 2025 fiscal year budget gap of $382.4 million. So I believe if that's true, that we're talking almost a billion with a B dollars. This is from the Civic Foundation, bipartisan organization. 32nd Ward Alderman Scott Wagaspak. Is that true?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it's a pretty huge deficit that we're running on this budget, and it's one of the largest I've ever seen when somebody's been given essentially a small budget gap and run up expenditures beyond belief, and that's Mayor Johnson.
Okay, so you just said a mouthful there. How could the mayor not have known this was going to come about? Because I believe you have a deadline, which is just 3 or 4 weeks away, to do something about this, to balance the budget, to have your colleagues, your 49 colleagues, vote on what would be a balanced budget. How does this work get done now at this point so quickly? Didn't he see this coming? How could he not know?
Well, I think when you're so inexperienced and, in some ways pretty incompetent to run a city, these are the kind of things that keep cropping up on what seems like a weekly basis with this administration. And it's really unfortunate because a lot of us have been talking about, what needed to get done a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, as this administration was coming in. So, we have tried, several of us have tried to show them a pathway to, have a better run government, a financially sound government. And I think it's been pretty well ignored for the last couple of years. So we do have until December 31st. But in reality, if we don't see better management of the city, we could suffer a downgrade that could really severely damage our financial situation.
I know we only have a couple minutes with you, 312-981-7200, if you want to text a question for the alderman, but this is one I get often. Marijuana sales, gambling money, where is that money? Why isn't that helping anyway to relieve some of this?
Well, I think, post-COVID, the amount of money coming in from marijuana dispensaries, from medical use, also from the casino, and I think where we were talking of seeing a lot larger numbers just really didn't materialize. But the money's coming in. But I think the problem is, even if you're bringing in revenue, and I know the mayor's made a ton of proposals about revenue. First, he said, let's do this massive property tax hike. And then, I just want all you folks to lean in and sacrifice a little more for a guy like me who, Johnson, who wants to spend a lot more money in his administration. It doesn't matter how much revenue we keep putting on the table. If you have more expenditures than you have in terms of revenue or efficiencies in government, you're never going to catch up. And that's the situation we're in.
I know that he's talking about cutting from city departments, including police, fire, and one which I want you to comment on, as well as police and fire, because I wonder how we can do that without compromising public safety, or in the case of police, the consent decree, which is federal law. But above and beyond that, Chicago Animal Care and Control. So he has floated out there the idea that he wants to cut a budget that are already, compared to other cities, is nowhere near per capita. So we have less money to spend per capita on our animal care and control in Chicago than most other major cities, if not literally every other major city in the country. Yet the organization is still kind of holding its own. They actually have to ask for help via Amazon gift wish list online in order to provide for the animals, which in itself is incredible to me. They're talking about cutting back, so the animal control officers, the old-style dog catchers, the police would have to do that duty. And by the way, by cutting back some, you're even cutting back less than you think because there is a cost to euthanasia. Never mind, I'm a financial cost. Never mind the psychological cost. Do we really want to be a city that euthanizes animals that we don't otherwise have to euthanize? Can you comment on all of that, Alderman?
Yeah, I mean, if I could look at it in a nutshell, I know that he's proposing cutting over $1 million or close to $1 million out of ACC, Animal Care and Control. And I think when you make those kind of cuts in certain departments, when you make cuts in constitutional police officers, which are required by the federal consent decree, and then you're telling us, oh, well, the officers and the police department can go catch dogs. I mean, it just shows you the lack of experience and the lack of depth in his administration to come up with these kind of proposals. If you're sitting there talking about cutting a million out of ACC, your costs go up dramatically on the other end of it with euthanasia, with, you know, having the 311 calls come in for animals running around the city. And I know aldermen don't want to see that. I think several have spoken up about it. But, you know, when you look at what he's planning to do with the police department, it's just absolutely absurd. Attorney General Kwame Raoul jumped into this. I think the governor did. A lot of us did and said, you know, what are you people thinking? So, you know, we have to go back to the table and say, here's where you need cuts. Here's where you need efficiencies. It can't be in these, at least these two that you've just mentioned, Steve, you know, because those are fundamentals that need to be followed through on.
So where does the money come from?
Well, so we've been looking at more efficiencies within each department. You know, we have a lot of contracts out there that have been put in place post-COVID. The mayor is basically saying, look, I want all these post-COVID jobs or COVID jobs to be made permanent. And we're saying you can't go from a close to $12 billion budget to a $17 billion budget and not find efficiencies and find ways to cut. And, you know, we sent a letter in several, about 15 aldermen, and said, we're not going to sit here and just accept the fact that taxpayers should have more property tax hikes, spend more money in the long run, because, again, he doesn't know how to run things, along with a lot of the extremists in government. And we're looking at several departments where you could basically say the hundreds of people that you brought on, they're just not going to be able to have permanent jobs. And that's in the tens of millions. We have to right-size government. We have to look department by department and say, where can we save 10% in each department as opposed to, say, one or two with a lot of tricks going on in the budget?
Speaking of tricks, and you sort of alluded to this, this mayor, compared to the recent mayors we've had, seems to have a larger staff directly surrounding him. First, is that true? Am I right? And secondly, if so, should the mayor be looking in his own home, if you will, first?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the city council, too. We've had committees. When I first became finance chair, I made massive cuts to the tune of close to $2 million in our finance committee budget. A lot of these departments have just skyrocketed in terms of what their spending is. So it's the city council as well. But really, the mayor's staff has jumped up as well pretty dramatically. A lot of it's kind of hidden in different pockets of funds. But it is there, and we want to see that stopped. I think people need to streamline what they're doing more in the mayor's office and throughout a lot of these departments.
The mayor promised coming in, and he has promised since he's been in, to be absolutely transparent. Has he been?
No, not at all. I think, you know, what we've seen from day one with the migrant issue when we came in, how they were spending the money there, it was very difficult to get any answers. You know that the governor had to jump in and put a stop to several projects or ideas that they were bouncing around that were costing taxpayers statewide tens of millions of dollars. But, you know, you also have these, like last week we had his $40 million mistake down at the state, you know, with the 911 surcharge fund. I mean, it's just, nobody was told what was happening with that, and they just tried to gloss it over. So there's a lot of that stuff going on that we've been finding, but it just takes a lot of people on the inside of government to help us out.
One interesting question, many questions via text, but I'm just pretty much out of time here. But one I will ask you here, the Democratic Convention, did we make money or lose money on that? Do you know?
Well, you know, economic impact statements on all these different events, it's something we've been asking about. You know, what are the costs of running these kind of events? I think with the DNC, you know, the federal government obviously paid for a lot of the staffing, the policing, and you'd have to look at the economic impact there. I would imagine that it probably brought in some for the hotel and hospitality taxes. But that kind of brings up that broader question we've been asking is, on a lot of these citywide events, what is the real economic impact? And, you know, are we really forcing our police officers and city staff to do a lot more work than they should be? So that's a really good question. We've been asking more detailed, in-depth questions on it to see what we're really spending.
Okay, another comment here that I will read. How can Mayor Johnson be transparent when he has no understanding of what he's doing? You don't need to comment on that one. And several that are kind of like that. Alderman, I know we'll be talking about this issue further, but hopefully not after December 31st. I hope it does get worked out for the benefit of all of us who live in the city. And thank you for the hard work you and your colleagues are doing, and a belated happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. You and your listeners have a great day. And I love this city like you, so let's get it done.